And he even saw the Rav for a minute when the Rav was home. Please, I remember I was the guest last Shabbos. Of course, it's good to see you. You'll be our guest again this Shabbos. Please, stay in our house. I've been staying the whole week, but where were you? Listen, don't worry. It's our pleasure you were staying in our house. We'll see you tonight. I have to go to the shul. I have some things to do. We'll talk tonight, okay? Bye. Oh, boy. Rabbi Avram felt two ways. First of all, he was so happy that he saw people again, and he was so excited to have another Shabbos on the island, but he's got to find out the answers to his questions. And he made up his mind, he's going to ask. He's just going to ask. And Kenelach, it came now. Shabbos again. And again, the shul was filled with people, davening beautifully. And Rabbi Avram was davening with everybody, feeling a special tainug Shabbos, a pleasure and a special gishmak and a good feeling of Shabbos. And again, he came home with the Rav. And on the way, he said, please, you got to tell me the answer to my question. Look, look, we're all hungry. Let's have a nice meal. We'll talk during the meal. And again, the beautiful Shalom Aleichem, and again, the Eishes Chayil, and everybody by the table like Malachim, and again, the beautiful Nigunim and Divrei Torah. And again, Rabbi Avram forgot all about his questions because he was enjoying Shabbos so much. And again, the beautiful davening of the shul by day, and again, the beautiful meal, and Rabbi Avram is having such a wonderful Shabbos, and he forgot all about his questions. Until finally it came, Motzei Shabbos, and they were davening Ma'ariv. And after Ma'ariv, they were setting up for Havdalah, getting the wine and the candle, the special candle, and the psalmim. And Rabbi Avram now, all of a sudden, remembered he has to ask his question, and he remembered last year they disappeared. I'm sorry. And he remembered last Moshe Shabbos, they all disappeared. And he goes to the Rav before Havdalah. I have to ask you my question, please. He says, listen, everybody's waiting for Havdalah, don't you see? I'll answer your question, but I have to make Havdalah, right after Havdalah. And he lifts up, the Rav pours the wine and lifts up the becher. Hine kel Yeshua si eftach v'layev chod. And all of a sudden, Kenelach and Rabbi Avram now remembers that when the Rav put his fingers in the wine, he disappeared. That's the end of Havdalah. He's got to ask the Rav the question before the Rav puts his fingers in the wine. Or else, who knows what's going to happen. And the Rav now is finishing Havdalah. And the Rav now is making the bracha on the psalmim. And then Boire Moere Ha'esh on the candle. And then he finishes the last part of the Havdalah. And he drinks the wine. And he's about to stick his fingers in the wine that spilled. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Avraham runs over and he grabs the Rav's hand. And the Rav is trying to stick his fingers in the wine, but Rabbi Avraham is grabbing onto his hand. And the Rav is not able to put his fingers in the wine because Rabbi Avraham is grabbing onto his hand with all of his strength. And he says, Rav, you must please tell me. I don't want you to disappear. Where am I? Who are you people? What is this island? What is this town? And what's going on? And where have you been the whole last week? And where will you go if you disappear now? You must answer me. And the Rav said, okay, sit down, I'll tell you everything. And Rabbi Avram was nervous that he's going to stick his fingers in the wine, but he didn't. After all, he's a Rav, he's an Elohiyid. And everybody sat down in the shul, and the Rav says to Rabbi Avram, this town was not always on the island in the middle of the ocean. And all of the people of the town were not always here. We all together lived near Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. The whole town. Our whole town is a town from Eretz Yisrael near Yerushalayim. And we also did not live in this time. We all lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We're all a town of people from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, Kinalach, that was thousands of years before Rabbi Avram's time. It does not say the first Beis HaMikdash or the second one, but it was one of the Bate Mikdash, one of the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rav said, when the Goyim came, now we don't know which ones, if it was the from Bavel in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Romans in the time of the second one, whatever it was. He says, when the Goyim came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, they destroyed Yerushalayim, and they also came to our town, and they put everybody together in our town. They put everyone together in our town, and we were all killed, all together, the whole town. And our neshamis went up to Hashem. We were killed on Kiddush Hashem. We were all killed together, and we went up to Hashem. But before Kinalach, the neshamis have the final reward, or whatever they get up in the Himmel. They first have to go to the Beis Din Shel Maila. They have to go to get judged in the court above. And Kinalach, at this court, they ask the Malachim to come, and they say, whoever saw this person or these people, whoever is in the court, whoever saw them doing a Vedas, speak up now. And then they say, whoever saw them doing mitzvahs, speak up now, because the Malachim watch us if we do a Vedas, Chas Shalom, or do mitzvahs. And there's a whole trial going on. Now, since this whole town went together on Kiddush Hashem, for the sake of Hashem, they all came to be judged together. And when they called out, which Malachim can say anything not good against these people? Not one Malach came, not even the Yetzirah, because they were all Halakha Tzaddikim that were killed on Kiddush Hashem. No Yetzirah Malach could get close to them. And when they called out, which Malachim saw them do good? They had thousands and thousands of Malachim shining and singing all kinds of good things of what they did, especially that they went on Kiddush Hashem, and all kinds of other mitzvahs they had. And the judges of the court called out that these people should go to Gan Eden, to a very high place with the biggest tzaddikim. And the doors of Gan Eden started to open to let in all of these neshamas that went on Kiddush Hashem. But all of a sudden, a very surprising thing happened. And the Rav said, no! Close the gates to Gan Eden. We don't want to go to Gan Eden. What? Close the gates to Gan Eden? You don't want to go to Gan Eden? You have been given the greatest reward to go to Gan Eden. The reward for all of those mitzvahs you have. And the Rav said, no, I speak for the whole town, and everybody is with me. We don't want to go to Gan Eden. Now the Yetzer Hara, standing very far away, he heard this and he said, oh, they don't want to go to Gan Eden? Maybe they come with me. Oh, what a catch if I get all these people. But of course, the Yetzer Hara could not get close to them. They did not want to go with him either. No Gan Eden, and for sure not with the Yetzer Hara. So where do you want to go? And the Rav said, we have a special mitzvah in our town that we used to do when we were alive, and that was the mitzvah of Shabbos. We used to have the most beautiful Shabbos in our town. The davening and the learning, and especially the families at home and the beautiful meals we used to have, and giving over the Torah by the table and singing and having delicious food. And we used to have Hachnasas Orachim, and we used to have beautiful clothes for Shabbos, and everything in honor of the Shabbos. That was our favorite mitzvah in the town. If we go to Gan Eden, we're not going to really have the same kind of a special Shabbos that we had in the world. Because Shabbos is not just Ruchnius. You know what Ruchnius is? It's not just for your neshama. Also our bodies. And who made the Shabbos? Not just our neshamas. You know who made the Shabbos? You know who worked hard to make Shabbos? Our bodies. Who bakes challah, a neshama or a body? I mean, the neshama couldn't make the dough or put the challah in the oven. Who made all the delicious food? Our neshamas or our bodies? Our wives work very hard to make a beautiful Shabbos. The hands and the whole body is working. Who wore the beautiful Shabbos clothes to honor the Shabbos? Only our neshamas or our bodies? If you put on a nice shirt and you don't have a body, the shirt's going to fall off. I mean, you know, where are you going to put the shirt? Or your nice clothes? You have to have something to put on. And who did the mitzvahs of Shabbos? We make kiddush on a becher of wine. Who made kiddush? Only our neshamas or our bodies? If the becher is there, you want to make kiddush, you need a hand to lift it up. Without a hand, how can you lift up the becher? And after you made kiddush, you have to pour the wine somewhere. What if there's no mouth? Where are you going to pour the wine? You need a mouth. A mouth is on a body. The Rav said, because our bodies also help to make Shabbos and enjoy the Shabbos, it's not fair to leave our bodies out of the reward. And if we go to Gan Eden, it's only our neshamas going there, not our bodies. So the judges and the Beis Din Shalmaila said, what do you want then? And the Rav said, we want to go into the world for Shabbos. We would like every Shabbos to go into the world, but we'll also need Erev Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos, because part of the beautiful mitzvah of Shabbos was all of our preparations getting ready for Shabbos. So we would like to go on Erev Shabbos into the world. And we would like to spend Shabbos in the world. And after Shabbos, then we'll go to Gan Eden. And the Beis Din Shalmaila was busy discussing the case, and of course it ultimately has to go straight to Hashem. And Hashem said, they will be able to have their reward. Let them go to the world for Shabbos. And ever since the time of the Beis HaMikdash, every Erev Shabbos, we're coming into the world on this island, and we spend Erev Shabbos getting ready, and we have a beautiful Shabbos. And Moitzei Shabbos, after Havdalah, we return to Gan Eden. And Kinalach, Rabbi Avram heard the story, and the Rav said to Rabbi Avram, you will not be able to stay here on the island, but I will help you to get home. And this is what you're going to do. The Rav now went to a table. He took out a little parchment, like a mezuzah, like the thing you write a mezuzah on. And he took a feather and ink, and he started writing different special things, halakha names of Hashem and different Kabbalah things on the parchment. And he rolled it up and he gave it to Reb Avram. And he said, you will go back to the ocean where you came first on the island, and you will have this parchment in your hand, and you will go into the ocean. You will You will go into the ocean as far as you can go until you cannot take another step, and then you will throw the parchment into the ocean, and you will see that you will be home very fast. And they said goodbye. Rabbi Avraham knew it was time to leave. He took the parchment from the Rav, and the Rav put his fingers into the wine, and so did everybody else, and they disappeared. And Rabbi Avraham knew they went back to Gan Eden. He went back to the ocean, Kinalach. The next day, he walked through the forest, and he finally arrived to the ocean, to the beach where he had come, and he found the place where he had come to the island from the shipwreck. And he had his stuff, and he was holding the rolled up parchment. And now he goes walking in the ocean, up to his knees, and up to his waist, and up to his shoulders, and up to his neck, and up to his chin. And then his nose goes in, and then his eyes go in, and his head goes in, and his hat is even going in. How about that? He's in the ocean with his hat. And he cannot go another step, and he cannot even see because his eyes are under the water. And now it's time to throw the parchment into the ocean. His hand is above the water, holding the parchment. And he's about to throw it in, because he cannot take one more step. And all of a sudden, he feels a hand. He didn't see a hand, he could only feel a hand. That's what it felt like. Like somebody grabbed his wrist, and they're holding his hand, and they're also making his hand to stay closed. They're grabbing his whole hand, that a hand should not throw that parchment in, but the parchment is shut tight and trapped inside of his hand. Because somebody is holding it shut, that he should not be able to let go of it. And all of a sudden, he feels like he's being pulled through the water by that hand, and he can't let go of the parchment like the Rav had told him to do. And a few seconds later, he feels like that hand is pulling him out of the water, schlepping him out. And all of a sudden, when he gets his hat and his face and his head out of the water and he can open up his eyes, he opens up his eyes and he sees this smiling face of the Baal Shem Tov looking at him, holding his hand. The Baal Shem Tov was holding his hand. And the Baal Shem Tov says, Rebbe Avraham, it's good to see you. Now please open up your hand and give me what's inside. Rebbe Avraham opens up his hand, and the Baal Shem Tov takes the parchment. And he says, Rebbe Avraham, the whole reason that I sent you on this whole shlichus, this whole trip, that you should go on the ship, and all the things that happened, that you should go to the island, that you should go on the ship, and the ship would go and get wrecked, and you would end up on the island, and you would meet the Rav of this town. The whole reason for the whole thing was that I wanted to get a hold of this parchment that the Rav wrote for you. He's the only one in the world that knew how to write such a thing, and I knew about it, and I wanted that parchment, and now I have it. And of course, Rabbi Avraham is wondering, what in the world does he want to do with that parchment? And the Baal Shem Tov says, whoever has this parchment can travel in the fastest way to travel. The fastest way. Now, what is the fastest way in the world to travel? Is it walking? No. Is it running? No. Riding a fast horsey? No. Going in a car? No. A motorcycle? No. A fast truck? What about a roller coaster? What about a helicopter? What about a plane? What about, what's a fast way to go?
A racing car.
A racing car. What is another fast? Think of another fast way to go. What is a fast way to go? Shh. Only the boys raising their hand, only the boys that raise their hand will get a chance.
A rocket ship.
A rocket ship. Yeah, okay, that's fast. What's another fast way to go?
A motorboat.
A motorboat. Very good. The fastest way in the world to travel is called Kfitzas HaDerech. Kfitzas HaDerech. Okay. Kfitzas HaDerech means the jumping of the way. The way jumps. Imagine you're going to take one step and you're already in Manhattan. You take another step, you're in California. You take a third step and you're somewhere in China. You just get there so fast. That's called Kfitzas HaDerech. Imagine you take one step and you're home. One step, it's even faster than flying through the air. Now boys, we have a big question. The Baal Shem Tov wants that parchment with the special names on of Hashem because he wants to go Kfitzas HaDerech, the fastest way to go. Faster than a train and faster than a plane and faster than a rocket ship. Because Kfitzas HaDerech means the jumping of the way. You go from one place to the other place in a second, even faster than a second. Just like between two places, every place in between disappears and you're right there. Now, why did the Baal Shem Tov want to go so fast? Kfitzas HaDerech. He wants to win a race? Well, yes and no. Now, this is what it is. Listen closely. Shh. I'm going to explain like this. Hanukkah is in 12 days. Oh, everybody got so happy and excited. Hanukkah's coming. Oh, I love Hanukkah. We light the menorah. And we spin the dreidel and eat latkes. And it's so much fun. And it's so nice and beautiful. Everybody gets excited from Hanukkah. Shh. Now let's pretend a little boy says, 12 days, I can hardly wait. I wish it was quicker than 12 days. I would like to have Hanukkah tomorrow, not 12 days. I really want Hanukkah to come tomorrow. Now, is it possible that he should be able to shrink the time between now and Hanukkah, that Hanukkah should come quicker? No. No matter what, Hanukkah will be in 12 days. He cannot make it sooner, because that's the way it is in time. Today is today, Hanukkah is in 12 days, and you have to go through all the 12 days to get to Hanukkah, and that's it. Shh. Now let's pretend somebody has a birthday in 30 days. Oh, my birthday's in 30 days. I can hardly wait. I gotta have a party and have my friends over and it's gonna be so much fun. No. I can hardly wait to have my party. I want it to come even faster than 30 days. Can he change the time? No, he cannot change the time because he's gotta wait 30 days. Now, Kenelach, shh. Do we know the day that Mashiach will come? Do we know the day that we will have the Geula and go to Eretz Yisrael? No. Will there be such a day? Yes. 100% for sure. The Torah says, Hashem says, that we will have Mashiach, we will have the Geula, and the day will come that we are going to go on the clouds. And we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the base of Mikdash, and we will have the Geula. This is something that is going to happen at a certain time. Now, when is that time? The fact is, there's two ways it could happen. It could happen later, chas v'shalem, or it could happen faster. Now, there is a last day for Mashiach to come that only Hashem knows about. There's the latest time. There is a last day that Mashiach could come, which is the very, very last day. But there's a way that Mashiach can come faster than the last day. We don't have to wait for that day. We can make Mashiach come faster and quicker. Now, you cannot make Hanukkah come faster. You cannot make your birthday come faster. But you can make Mashiach come faster. How do you do it? You want Mashiach to come, and you do things to bring Mashiach faster. That will actually make Mashiach come faster. Even by saying to Hashem, Hashem, I want Mashiach to come faster, that has the koyach to bring him faster. If you say, Hashem, I want Hanukkah to come faster, it won't. Hashem, I want my birthday to come faster. I don't want it in 30 days, I want it in 29 days. You can't do a thing about it. But if you say to Hashem, I want Mashiach to come faster, I want him now. I want him tomorrow. No, I want him now. Do you know what Hashem can do? He can bring him right now. B'kfitzas haderech, he can make Mashiach jump right now to come. That is possible. Now, the way of the Baal Shem Tov, do you think he wanted to wait until later for Mashiach to come? Or he wants Mashiach to come right now in Kfitzas HaDerach, to jump the way and come right now? How do you think the Baal Shem Tov wanted Mashiach to come? Later or right now?
Not right now.
Right now. And that's why... Okay, I'm going to count to three. One! Okay. Now, the boys who really want Mashiach to come now, they were quiet even before I said three. They said, why should I wait till Rabbi Burson counts to three if I can be quiet when he counts to one? And some boys were quiet even before I started counting to one. Now that is the way to bring Mashiach. You do the mitzvah right away. The Baal Shem Tov wanted to go right away to do mitzvahs. Where did he go, B'kfitzas HaDerech? Where did he go? Shopping? He went to the park? Okay, the Baal Shem Tov went to help Yidden and to do mitzvahs. And he did not want to just take the regular time. He wanted to do it right away. Because if he does a mitzvah right away, then he can do another mitzvah right away. And more mitzvahs will bring Mashiach quicker. And those boys that were quiet right away were the Kfitzas HaDerech boys, the right away boys, the Baal Shem Tov Hasidim boys. The Baal Shem Tov boys, those were the boys that were quiet right away. Kfitzas HaDerech. It doesn't mean you have to jump and go like with a parchment. You don't have to do that. Mommy says, it's time to clean up your room for Shabbos. There's two ways to do it. One way is the last time, after mommy told you 10 times and got upset. Is that the Kfitzas HaDerech way?
No.
Is that the Mashiach Now way? No. You could clean your room as soon as mommy says, or even before mommy tells you, you know you have to clean up your room. You clean it up right away. And your Rebbe says, recess is over, it's time to go to your seat. Well, you could play with the Legos on the floor for a few more minutes until your Rebbe comes over there and says, how come you're still playing with the Legos? I told you that it's time to go to your seat. Or you can go right away to your seat and straighten out. And if you see something on the floor, pick it up and put it in the garbage and take out your chumash and get ready to learn. And your Rebbe will look at you, hey, look, you're ready even before the time. The bell didn't go off yet even. And everybody's ready. And you're ready even to learn before the bell goes off, and the rows are straight, and the floors are clean. That's the Baal Shem Tov way. That's the Kfitzas HaDerech way. That's the Mashiach Now way. Shh. So this is the story, boys, of Reb Avram and the Island, and Kfitzas HaDerech, and the Baal Shem Tov wants to teach us we should do mitzvahs right away in a way of now, and that's going to help Mashiach to come right away, and Mashiach to come now. And that's going to help us, and it's going to help the whole world. Because if you look and see what's happening in the whole world, you don't want to wait another day for Mashiach to come, because it's going to be good for everybody. The world will be a good place, and chas v'shalom, bad things will not happen anymore. And you'll put on good news. When you put on the news, you're going to hear all good news. Good things happening. Why should we wait another day for that? We need that right away. Everybody needs